Ladies and gentlemen in Radio Land, you have now just entered 4th Street. My name is Kobe.
I'm Charles, not Charlie.
I'm Charlie, not Charles.
Don't mix us up.
And Smooth Austin.
And we are the 4th Street Sportsmen, and this is the 4th Street Sports Show. And gentlemen, boys and girls, Radio Land, welcome to the 4th Street Sports Show. We are the 4th Street Sportsmen. I am your host, Kobe.
I'm Charles, not Charlie.
I am Charlie, not Charles.
And there's no Austin tonight.
There's no Austin tonight, but he will be back soon. And we will get back to our regularly scheduled programming. But tonight is a three-man show tonight, and we have a jam-packed show for you guys. Of course, we have our Eagle Eye recapping all sports that's going on right now on USM's campus. And then, of course, we have a special guest heading through 4th Street today who we will be interviewing. And also, we will get into a big debate section, which we will be getting into. And, of course, we will be giving our flowers today. But now we will be heading into our Eagle Eye broadcast, our Eagle Eye recap. I said broadcast. That's tripping. But first, I want to start off with the baseball squad. Currently, Southern Miss is playing UNO, University of New Orleans, on the road right now. And currently, the score is 7-6. At one point, they were down 5-2, but then Christopher Sargent hit a big 3-run shot to tie the game up, and now they're currently in the league right now, 7-6. And right now, we'll see what happens with that. We'll keep you all updated with what the score is in the game right now. And also with that, they're coming off a series win this past weekend at the Pete. They started off conference play with 2 wins against Florida Atlantic University, including a walk-off hit from Danny Lynch on Friday, which was a bomb. If you haven't seen this highlight, go look at it again. It was a really great game. Then a late push on Saturday to win 6-4, and they will fall on Sunday. They will follow on Sunday 7-3. But right now, currently, the Golden Eagles are 2-3 on Sunday matchups before and 1 in their midweek games. And after New Orleans, they will be traveling to Bowling Green this weekend to take on Western Kentucky University. And the Golden Eagles have won their 4 of 5 matchup against the Hilltoppers last season. So that's going on with the baseballs. Right now, we'll keep you updated on the UNO game right now. And I'm going to pass it to Charlie.
Oh.
Or Charles, my bad.
Charles. Not Charlie.
He mixed us up. You disobeyed my instructions. Anyway, in the softball side of things, softball has had a very busy week over the past couple of weeks, starting with a game against a ranked opponent. They dropped their matchup against ranked Alabama 5-2 in front of a record-attending crowd at home. And they then lost their series against Middle Tennessee State, but picked up a 6-2 win against them on Saturday. Morgan Linestock earned her 11th win of the season in the game, and Hannah Borden and Destiny Brown got a pair of home runs. The Golden Eagles will play at McNeese State today at 6:30 p.m., which is, for those of you watching, 20 minutes from now. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who are going to be making your way over there, drive safely and gotta love supporting them. But if you aren't able to make it in person, you can also tune in on ESPN Plus. And then they will return to play against UAB this weekend at home as they look to improve their 1-5 conference record so far.
Yeah, they have played some of the best, if not the best, teams mm-hmm. in the conference. So hopefully they can turn that record around. But they still have an above 500 record on the season. Moving on to the spicy news, mm-hmm. men's basketball. We got some spice to add to the show. Of course, 6 players have now entered the transfer portal on Southern Miss men's basketball team. After the season has ended, lost 5 players last week, and then just yesterday, Tyler Stevenson, arguably the biggest player to Southern Miss men's basketball team, has also entered the transfer portal. It's been a big topic of debate after the school announced in a social media post that head coach Jay Ladner will be returning next season after some uncertainty that he wouldn't after a 7-26 season and 3 consecutive losing seasons. The 6 players that have left were all major contributors for Southern Miss this past season. You had Isaiah Moore, Tay Hardy, who both missed time, one due to suspension, and then Tay Hardy had an injury that sidelined him. But also players that played the whole season, Rashad Bolden, Wallen Napper, Jerron Pierre Jr., and then Tyler Stevenson. And I was just, I've been doing this every time a player is entered now, is accounting for the production loss, because a lot of people are saying, we'll get to this in our debate segment, but a lot of people are saying, you know, this was a losing squad. We can move on past this, but you got to look at it from a production standpoint. This is what they've lost. They've lost their players 65% of total minutes played, 76% of total points, 73% of assists, and 58% of rebounds. That's what those players that they lost accounted for. So interesting time for men's basketball.
Interesting. Now,
I wanted to say before we move on to the next segment, we wish everybody who is transferring the best of luck at their new institution.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now moving over to the track and field side, shout out to Corvell Todd, who captured the number 2 spot at the NCAA Indoor Championships for the high jump. That's right, he got second place nationally for the high jump and set the school record in doing so. So Corvell Todd is continuing his hot streak of the year, pretty much.
Yeah,
because he looked like he's been on fire, pretty much doing everything in track and field. So shout out to Corvell Todd again for pretty much placing high in the indoor championships.
We also have the Bulldog Relays start tomorrow, so there will be 3 Golden Eagles, I believe, competing in that. So good luck to them.
Well, when does that start?
I'm not sure what time. We'll have to.
It must
get back.
Be throughout the whole day type of beat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Probably. We're going to be elsewhere, otherwise we'd be attending, darn.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on now to some tennis updates. For those of you who have been following me for a while, I've been always hyping up tennis. But men's tennis picked up a 4-2 win against North Dakota, but fell in a close loss to St. Joseph's last Friday, falling to 4-7 on the season. Women's tennis had 2 home games canceled, but were swept by our rivals, our bitter, bitter rivals, South Alabama, last Thursday. I'm telling y'all, pay attention to this rivalry. But they turned to a home matchup against Mississippi's own Jackson State Saturday, and then against fellow Mississippi institution Alcorn State on Tuesday.
And then moving on to Beach Volleyball, they picked up 2 of 4 wins in the Tulane Classic before going to California over spring break. Of course, Kobe and I had the honor to talk to head coach Sean Taylor and Olivia Hepworth last show, which also, if you didn't know, the article on that interview is now available on the student prints, featuring Olivia Hepworth's journey as one of the first volleyball players at Southern Miss, beach volleyball players, and coach Sean Taylor's involvement in the program. So you can go online and read that. We talked a little about their California trip before they went. They lost all 7 games on that trip, but like we were talking to them, those were all some of the best teams, programs, beach volleyball programs in the nation. So they just talked about the experience and what intel they could kind of gather from playing those teams and how valuable that is as they turn to their home matchups, which will start April 1st when they'll start their Beach Invitational in Hattiesburg, which if you haven't been, I actually haven't been, but all I've heard is just great things about that game day experience and one of the best beach volleyball facilities in the nation, really. That's what I've heard. So I've got a chance to tour it, but again, April 1st starting, if you want to go there, Coach Sean Taylor and Olivia Hepworth will put on a show.
Don't be a fool and miss this first home game. See what I did there?
No. Don't be a fool.
Because they play on April 1st.
Oh.
I should have known that because I was talking to a beach player earlier today, man. Dang.
Dang.
Anyway, moving on to golf. Men's golf earned their first title in 3 years with a first place finish at the East Carolina Intercollegiate Tournament on Tuesday. Bryce Wilkinson and Ryan Dupree led tied for third. Women's golf finished 14th of 16 at the Preserve this past weekend, and now they prepare for the Chattanooga Classic this weekend. So shout out to both teams for doing great in these tournaments this week, and we will see what happens this weekend with the women's golf team and everything. So yeah, but that has been our Eagle Eye recap. Unless I'm forgetting something, guys. Am I? No.
I don't Believe so.
No, right. We'll just keep y'all updated on this baseball score if y'all
aren't watching. Are there any updates at all right now?
Yes, the score is 9-6 at the top of the seventh.
Wow.
And how about that?
Dang, went from 5-2 to 9-6. Wow.
And currently, Will McGillis is on first, Dan Lynch is on second, and I believe Carson Paytile is up the bat right now, so... Yes.
Some midweek magic.
Midweek magic. They always find a way to get it done in the midweek. And they again, if they win, they would be 14-7 if they're able to pull this out. So, yeah, we'll keep y'all updated with that throughout the show. But now after this break, we will be interviewing. We have a special guest coming through 4th Street. We'll be interviewing the Eagle Esports Rainbow Six Siege head coach Josh Mackey. Player coach, so when we get back, we will talk to him. This is 4th Street Sports Show, and we are the 4th Street Sportsman, Southern Miss Radio.
Tupac.
And welcome back to the 4th Street Sports Show. That was California Love by Tupac featuring Dr. Dre. Of course, you know, that's a tradition for us to play that on every show. But we have a special guest here on 4th Street today. Today, we welcome our special guest to the 4th Street Sports Show, player coach for the Eagle Esports Rainbow Six Siege team, Mr. Josh Mackey. Josh, Mr. Mackey, how are you doing today, bro?
I'm doing good. Really hot outside today. If y'all notice, it's very hot outside, but I'm doing great. Super excited to be on the show with you guys.
Yeah, thank you for stopping by, man. We've been wanting to kind of delve into the esports scene a little bit, and we'll start with you. Just how long have you been a part of the Eagle Esports program here?
So I learned about this program my senior year of high school. I actually emailed the director directly about, like, hey, do y'all have an esports team here on campus? He was like, yeah, we do. We're kind of a young program. So I've been here pretty much since freshman year. Ever since I joined Southern Miss, I was accepted. And they were like, hey, you want to play? I'm like, sure. So I've been here since my freshman year. It's been a wonderful time I've been here. The 2 years it's been a program, I've enjoyed every bit of it.
How does that whole situation work? Were you recruited? Did you have to try out? Like, how did that whole thing work with esports?
So, how it worked was, so I wanted to play Rainbow Six and Call of Duty, actually. So, we had a little tryout process. And when I tried out, I think I was the only person to try out for the Siege team. So, pretty much, it was either I make the team or I don't make the team. So, I tried out. It was a long, lengthy process, but eventually, I ended up making the team. And then, for Call of Duty, it was more of a, we'll let you play, but you're mostly a substitute. That wasn't my main focus. I really wanted to play Siege because that was the game I wanted to get better at. Mm-hmm. So I tried out, and like, it's a long process. I got on the team, and then I played my first season my freshman year. And then just recently, the start of my sophomore year, I was inducted to be coach and team captain of the team. So that's how I came to be a coach as well.
And when and kind of how did you get an interest in video games, and how did that kind of transition to you becoming an esports player?
So I remember my first game system was a Nintendo when I was about 4 years old. I played Nintendo and I said, you know what, I love video games, and I've had a console ever since. And I pretty much was like, I love video games so much that I wanted to like make it a kind of a hobby of mine. And I didn't know nothing about esports. I didn't learn about esports until my senior year of high school, funny enough. And so I was kind of like interested to see what esports was all about. So I kind of asked the director about, hey, what is esports? What do y'all usually do? Is y'all just sit there and play video games all day, or is there more to it? So I took time and did my own research and just see what can I gain out of it. And so far I've gained a lot from it. So that's how it pretty much came to be.
And what was that transition like? You know, we might all play video games for fun, but what's that transition like of playing it for fun to playing it competitively?
It was a big jump for me, honestly, because, you know, I usually play video games just for fun, you know, hop on a few games with the fam or just some friends of mine, just play, like, we're just going to play this game, have a good time, crack a few jokes. But now to, okay, we're playing to win. This is something serious. There's usually you're not playing for, like, $5,000 every now and then or $10,000. When that sets in that I'm actually playing for, like, a prize, it's a whole different mindset you have to approach to the game. So it was definitely different for me, but, I mean, I learned a lot from it. I've learned a lot by myself and how I approach certain things. So it was definitely a difficult jump for me at the beginning, though.
And out of all the games, how did you choose Rainbow Six as your kind of main game?
So the games we offer now, we offer Rocket League, which I am not good at that game. Mm-hmm. Overwatch, I am horrible at that game. Call of Duty, I kind of like tried it at first, and then I realized I'm more of a casual player, and I couldn't really take the competitive side of it. So I decided to say, you know what, Siege is the game because it's slow paced. It's not like I'm running all over the place. I'm like, okay, it's more team-based. I like team-based games. I like playing as a team. I like knowing that I don't have to do something. I have a whole team behind me if I need them. So Siege was kind of that game. I was like, you know what? I want to do this game. This game seems fun. I feel like I can learn it at a good pace to where I'm not doing too much, but I'm also not doing too little.
And for listeners who might not know about Rainbow Six Siege, how would you kind of break it down to them?
For those who have probably played Call of Duty, I think the closest thing I could compare it to is like Search and Destroy. So pretty much it's 5 against 5, and you pretty much plant the bomb, and you hope the bomb goes off, and that's pretty much the best I can explain. I never had a good time explaining the game itself. It's kind of hard to explain when you're not playing it, pretty much.
And you talked about that jump from a player just to a competitive player, but what was that kind of transition when you became the coach? Could you kind of explain just what you do as a coach?
So pretty much my job as a coach is pretty much I'm the main spokesperson for the team, but I'm also the one leading the charge when it comes to making strategies for the team. And it kind of changed over the times I've been a coach. I've only been a coach for this 1 year, and so far I've learned that the role as a coach is not just set to one person, because anyone can be a coach. And I've kind of led my team to say that anyone can be a coach. Anyone has ideas. I don't want it to be like I'm the one making all the ideas, because my ideas may be bad, but your idea may be better. So I've kind of led my team to saying that, yes, the title of coach may be mine, but in reality, all y'all are coaches, all y'all are leaders in the game. So that's what I've kind of pushed towards my team. Yes, the coach title is something that you can have, but it doesn't mean that anyone can be a coach. So I've kind of like stepped away of being like, okay, I'm the coach, I got to make all the strategies, I got to do all this. It's more of let's all work together and be like one coach instead of just me being the coach.
And what all does coaching an esports team involve?
Well, the main thing is mostly scheduling practices, because unlike traditional sports where you probably might have like scrimmages, when it comes to esports, scrims are your main point of practice. Sometimes you may go over videos, like how football teams go over their recent games. We go over our recent games. So I'm kind of the one like trying to point out the main mistakes, while the teammates may point out little things. I try to point out the main things. I'm the main contact if y'all want to schedule practices. I've actually had to contact a lot of schools. This is like the first time I've actually got to meet a lot of people. And that's pretty much my job at this point.
Would you say that being a coach has really obviously, you coaching, you have to look deeper into the games that you're playing. Mm-hmm. How much would you say you've improved as a player, as a whole, since becoming a coach?
I have definitely seen a big jump in my skills in the game, because at first I was like, I didn't know nothing about the game, but actually playing the game and like sitting down, like going over my own things and seeing like what I'm doing wrong has really improved. I may not be better as my teammate, but I feel like individual-wise, I'm doing the best I can. I'm really improving. I'm trying to continually to improve, because I'm only going to be a coach for long. I want to be able to say, like, I gave all I can to this team. I improved in the game. And eventually, when I do graduate from this, I can continue to play the game I love, but not just be a casual player, but someone who has played this game competitively while still also getting better at it.
Rainbow Six Siege seems like a more tactical kind of FPS, but how important is it that you might have experience in this, but to learn those strategies and to kind of learn the dynamics of that game? Because it seems like a game that's kind of hard to just pick up and get going.
Yeah, the one thing I've noticed is that a lot of teams like to play more individual based. So, like, for example, I think one college we played was North Carolina State. Shout out to them. They are a really good team when it comes to Siege. And they have three teams, actually, and we played their C team recently. And one of the things I remember them telling us is y'all are so coordinated, because they're used to playing teams that are all about, okay, I want y'all to go get kills. We're not going to have a strategy. We're just all going to go and get a kill. Just do that. Playing teams like that kind of doesn't make me happy, because I like playing more structured, more team-based Siege. Yeah. Eventually, there comes a time where I'd be like, okay, you know what? We can't do that. We're just going to have to go out there and just play with our heads chopped off and just go get kills. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. So, like, playing a game to where you can go either way, you can either play team structure or you can play individually, it's definitely weird, but I kind of enjoy playing team structured games. So it's definitely not easy to pick up at first because it's such a different pace than Call of Duty than all your other fast-paced shooters. To actually, you have to play as a team, to actually have to rely on your teammates to do things right. It's definitely something different.
When you're coming up with these strategies, is it like a playbook type thing where y'all, like, where you drawing up stuff and y'all, and then when y'all practice, y'all go over it and stuff like that? Is it, or is it something completely different?
So it's actually funny that you say that, because recently they just announced new maps that we have to play for Siege. So we're coming up for strategies, and then sometimes we're like, you know what, we can't do this. We're just going to do something completely different. Because I think one time we played against, who was it? Ottawa University. It's a school in Kansas. And, you know, we like to try to stick to our strategy as best we can. But then sometimes, like, we should change this up. So sometimes mid-game, we're changing our strategies. Like, we don't go by a certain playbook. We stick with this, but let's change it up a little bit. Now, and we've also had a tendency to, like, go do the same thing over and over again. So we have to learn to, you know, adapt to certain play styles or just change our strategies to where we're not doing the same thing over and over and over again. So it's constantly changing is what I'll say. It's constantly changing.
I've heard a couple other esports coaches talk about this, but the importance of communication. And in a scenario, game day scenario, you know, when you're adjusting stuff on the fly, just could you kind of explain how that goes down and how key communication is?
So just a quick shout out to my man, Justin. Justin's our main shot caller. I'm more of a quiet type person when it comes to, like, actually saying what to do. I get loud when I need to, is what I like to say. I get loud when I need to. If I don't need to say anything, I'll just be quiet. However, when it comes to communication and changing stuff on the fly, we kind of get kind of flabbergasted sometimes because, like, okay, we're so used to this. Why are we changing it? If it works, why don't we just stick with it? Eventually, teams are going to find out what you're doing, and they're going to find a way around it. So sometimes you're going to have to change it. And so we're like, okay, what do we need to do? And sometimes we're doing stuff last minute, and it kind of messes up things. But once we get the hang of it, we start like, okay, we got this. So communication is definitely something I try to stress to all my teammates, is that we got to stay calm. We cannot be, you know, getting mad over the little things. We're getting mad at the littlest things, it's going to ruin the whole game for us. And I've had experience getting, like, absolute mad and then playing my absolute worst. So when it comes to communication, I try to tell everyone to just stay calm. I've been told I'm like a breathing teacher. I like to go over breathing exercises with my teammates. I know it's kind of weird, but when I say breathing is important, it is super important.
Nah, it's not weird. I play a lot of video games, and when I'm losing bad, I'm going to need some of them breathing
exercises. Man, it just feels different, man. It feels different.
What experience did you learn in this past season, and could you explain, like, kind of how this past season went?
So this past season, we got to playoffs, actually. We were actually the third-to-last seeded team in playoffs, because when I say this league was filled with the best of the best teams, I mean, we gave it our absolute all. And the funny thing is, we actually ended up playing the third seed in playoffs and actually taking them to – it's always the best of three. It's always the best of three. We took them to a map three. We did lose to map three, though, so we got eliminated first round. But during the second map we played, we actually – 1-7-0. They didn't win a single round, and people were actually looking at us like, wow, they just took the third team seed and didn't let them win a single round. And people are like, wow, this team is no joke, because you're like, okay, this is a low tier scene, they're just gonna lose everything. We want to be known as, we may not be a big school, but hey, we can give the big schools a run for their money. And so currently we're preparing for a tournament hosted by Ole Miss called Landshark. It's April 9th through 10th. I don't have a lot of information on that just yet, but right now we're just currently practicing for that, because there are some big schools. We're playing University of Alabama, Ole Miss, Arizona, Texas A&M, just to name a few. And those teams are some of the elite. So we're just hoping that we just learn from it, because we also have a player graduating. So we just want to, you know, have a good time, have a little fun with it, just continue to learn, continue to improve, and get ready for next season.
And do you see that as kind of opportunity to make a name for y'all?
Oh, for sure. Because everyone, like, when you think of Mississippi schools, Southern Miss is not the first thing you're going to think of. You're going to think of Ole Miss and Mississippi State. But when you think esports, they're like, okay, Southern Miss probably don't have a program. Oh, yes, we do. And trust me, we're going to blow a few people away. I'll just keep it at that. We're going to blow a few people away.
Talk to him.
Let's go. Let's
talk to him. I'm going to keep it at that. Don't want to get too arrogant, but still.
Yeah.
Be on the lookout.
Eagle Esports is still young, still growing, but since you first joined, what ways have you seen it grow?
So I remember when I first came on campus, I saw the arena, only 7 computers, and I was like, okay, we got to start somewhere. Everyone's got to start somewhere. So we're having 7 computers, and this is actually, as soon as we built the arena, COVID happened. So we weren't allowed to go in the arena. We all had to play from home. I remember playing my first season of Siege. I was actually at home. I was never on campus either my freshman year, my fall semester. So I had to play at home, away from everybody, and it was definitely a – I enjoy it because I like being around people sometimes. So coming here and actually seeing the arena, I was excited. And to now, we now have 14 computers. We now have a fully functioning production setup. I think, Charles, you've seen the production setup.
I have seen the production setup. It's sick.
When I say we have 3 fully functioning cameras, a green screen, a whole computer just dedicated to pumping out content, to now actually posting content. We actually have our own podcast that we live stream every Monday, too. To being able to do that, it's just seeing the growth and how quickly we're doing it is something I will always be grateful for, and be grateful to have this opportunity to be here to be able to witness this, because I don't think I would have been where I am today without Eagle Esports. To be a coach, to be a player, to get to see the growth, to actually just being a part and helping with it, I can't thank them enough for it.
And Eagle Esports also just added Valorant and Halo Infinite
yes.
to its lineup. So they're growing as far as adding games. Mm-hmm. Do you see yourself kind of exploring into those games?
Maybe. I just love Siege too much to like try to switch games. Valorant is fun, though. Don't get me wrong. Valorant's a fun game. And Halo, I mean, Halo is so much fun to play. But me personally, I'm going to stick to Siege. I'm going to play Valorant casually, maybe play a little bit of Halo, but I think I'm going to just stick to full-time Siege and just, you know, continue to prove in that game.
I think it's an interesting thing about esports, how some games kind of stick around for a while, and Siege has been out for probably 6 years now.
6 years, as we like to say, 6-year-old game, by the way. 6-year-old game. We still play that game no matter how old we are.
So what do you think its lifespan will be? Do you think it's kind of starting to be replaced by other games, or do you think it's here to stay?
I think it's here to stay. The game is constantly putting out content to make it more interesting, because they just released a new season. They just changed a bunch of things. So as long as people are still playing the game, as long as the developers are still making content for it, I don't think that game's dying out anytime soon. I think by the time I graduate and probably get married or have kids, that game will still be relevant in some way, shape, or form.
Hey, you gotta tell the wife.
I'm just saying. Yeah. Siege just right there. I'm gonna be playing it for a while.
To those who yet, there's still a lot of people who maybe don't believe in esports or kind of skeptical about it. How do you handle that criticism or that skepticism, and what would you kind of tell to disprove that stigma around it?
I think I remember one time. Well, one interview I was told, they were like, what was the stigma? And it was like, we're just a bunch of fat people that just play video games all day. And when that's clearly not the case, there are so many opportunities in esports that people don't know about. Yes, there's video games we can do, but you're also learning a lot of soft skills like communication, networking, production too. We're opening to commentating, camera operators, sound observers. There's just so many opportunities in esports that a lot of people don't know about yet. And I feel like that's the one thing that's holding us back, is that people not knowing what we actually do. While, yes, we play video games, and it's a big part of what we do, there's a lot more that goes into it. Like I say, this is the first time I actually got to meet with a bunch of schools, and I think I'm going to end up having those connections for a long time. Those connections can go a very, very long way. Mm-hmm. And for those who are, like I say, not fully on board yet, trust me, you're going to want to get on board, because people are going to want to play video games for the rest of their life and want to see, can I make money off of this, or just find a way to have it be a part of what I want to do. Esports is the way to go, and trust me, you're going to want to hop on board, because the future is probably going to be esports eventually, because I don't know if y'all know, but like, they won't put esports in the Olympics. Eventually, people are they're going to get what they want. If esports in the Olympics, everyone's going to be trying to play in the Olympics, so it's the future in some way, shape, or form. I'm looking forward to it.
So you mentioned possibly adding it to the Olympics. I've also heard talks of there being just a specifically esports Olympics with only video games.
Man, if that's the case, man, you may see me there one day. I'm going to try everything to play in that, but I'm just saying, people are going to want to play video games, and people are always going to play video games, because video games is just something we all enjoy doing. So as long as video games are around, esports is going to be around.
Right.
So hop on board while you can. It's never too late.
And it looked like the world of gaming is just growing by the minute.
Who will you tell? Down. It's definitely not. Because I think recently I just played like WWE 2K22. Like, the game is just so much fun. Like, games are just becoming so much fun to play. Because, like, when if you have a long day at work, I'm sure y'all probably had long days. Yeah. Sometimes it's just nice to unwind with just a nice video game and just chill.
Oh, right? Definitely.
Oh, yeah. It takes the...
Maybe get a little rage out.
Yeah, get a little rage out. Yeah. It's mostly necessary. So that's why I just love video games so much. And I just love the opportunities that can be presented by video games. So, as like I said, as long as video games are around, esports will always be a thing.
Yep, Twitch, caffeine, all these sites. Yeah. Like it's really growing.
Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to being part of that growth too.
Where can people find Eagle Esports?
This is why I'm plugging our socials right now. You can follow us on Twitter at USM Esports. You can also follow us on Twitch at Southern MS Esports Official. We're actually working on a YouTube page right now, so keep on the lookout for that. I'm looking forward to it. Actually working on our first video right now too. So like I said, super excited to be pumping out content. But yeah, those are our two main following platforms. And you know, if you always want to reach out to me, just don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to reach out.
Also, you mentioned before the show too, y'all got a big tournament coming up, by the way, as well. Is there any way where we could go watch that? Or
so it's actually gonna be hosted on the Ole Miss Twitch channel at Ole Miss Esports, and we'll post more about it on our Twitter page. So keep on the lookout for that. And we may stream it ourselves. You never know. So, like I said, just keep on the lookout for it.
That's awesome. Thanks so much for talking to me. That was really insightful.
Of course. Thanks for having me. I hope to come back one day. Maybe in the later future.
Yeah, and good luck in the tournament. I hope y'all make some name for yourself against Ole Miss.
Thank y'all so much.
The Land Sharks.
Man, I'm looking forward to it. The Land Sharks.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Josh Mackey from the Eagle Esports Rainbow Six Siege team. And when we come back, we will have our debate section. We will be talking basketball, and it's going to be one you don't want to miss. So when we come back, we'll be talking about that. This is the 4th Street Sports Show, and this is Southern Miss Radio.
Oh, hi.
Hi, and welcome back to the 4th Street Sports Show. That was Juggernaut by Tyler, the Creator, featuring Lil Uzi Vert and Pharrell Williams. And now we get into our debate section. Charlie, I'm going to pass it over to you.
Yay.
Basketball.
Yay.
Orange bouncy hoop. What's about that?
Anyway, that's it for the debate, y'all.
No, obviously, we got Charles in here, our big March Madness fan, but we're not talking about the teams in the bracket now. We're talking about the teams not in the bracket.
None of our teams got a berth anywhere, and I'm very sad.
Honestly, before we get into our actual discussion in our debate, how did your March Madness go, honestly, Charles?
So, St. Peter's kind of messed up my bracket.
But as a basketball fan, you got to be glad about that, right?
I mean, definitely. They've been a really fun Cinderella to be pulling for. Very reminiscent of Oral Roberts' run from last year.
Or Florida Gulf Coast.
Yeah, which is those three teams that have made it to the Sweet 16.
Exactly.
And one of them was last year, and then a year later it happens again.
And not to mention the crazy 10-11 game that's going to be happening this next round as well. I don't think I've ever seen that before. A 10 versus 11 seed in the Sweet 16.
Definitely been an interesting March Madness tournament. And also, before we get into Southern Miss basketball, actually, head coach Jay Ladner's son, Luke Ladner, won a national championship last night with Loyola. Yeah,
shout out to Loyola in New Orleans, because we know we got a bunch of Loyola. So shout out to Loyola.
Yeah, Loyola Chicago. You guys kind of messed up my bracket a little bit. You were supposed to beat Ohio State. Why didn't you beat Ohio State? Whatever happened to the teams from the past two seasons? Whatever.
Because Murray State did get beat by St. Peter's, and I was thinking about that the entire time, because Murray State would get the primetime spot. I'm like, oh, that's crazy, because Ja Morant was there last year. And I'm like, that's fire for them to be getting the primetime spot.
Yeah, Ja Morant has really put those guys on the map. I think once he committed over there and people saw what he could do, I think people around the country were like, oh, shoot, this might be a team to try to play for.
And then last year in the March Madness, they made a big jump too, as well. But
Many fans are wishing that Southern Miss could be on the map again, even of the NIT tournament. Yeah. But we're here to talk about Southern Miss obviously had a 7-26 season.
The worst in franchise history.
Yes. Well, most losses in a season, only behind the 0-25 season, or 25, I believe, season, 1971-72.
Well, I guess I should say losingest.
Yeah. But 7-26, longest losing streak in program history besides that winless season. And Southern Miss announced that head coach Jay Ladner will be staying next season. That's their decision, and we can talk about that decision. Obviously, we got to talk about the other factor in this, is that the whole team is basically leaving.
Yep.
Which, I know there is a lot going on with the transfer portal right now. Lots of players, regardless of the situation, are going to do what benefits them. That's kind of where we are in college sports right now.
Sports as a whole.
Yeah, as we're seeing with NFL free agency.
And not to mention NBA as well.
Yeah, NBA free agency, all of it. So that is a factor to weigh into. We saw last season, you know, Tyler Stevenson entered the transfer portal and ended up coming back. And actually, a 4th Street fan, Jeremy Burke, he's a big Southern Miss basketball fan, he mentioned, too, that this is a point that has validity, is that a lot of these players could be also doing the same thing.
Yep.
It's just testing the waters, because why not? You know, why not if you're a player? Because, you know, players like Jerome Pierre obviously will probably be picked up really fast, get offers. Isaiah Moore probably as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if I see a Jerome Pierre at UNO or Tulane or one of these schools, though. Because he's from New Orleans. The reason why I brought that up, I wouldn't be surprised if we see him there, but 6 players, though?
Mm-hmm. And it's not just any 6 players. It's your 6 best players.
It's your 6 key players. And I'm like, it's crazy that it's getting – because honestly, I see more happening.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Not saying anything against these players, but you can see the it seems to be a statement.
But I kind of, honestly, you see the frustration.
Mm-hmm.
You saw the frustration in the middle of the season. So that's why I'm kind of not surprised Isaiah Moore, he announced his transfer. That he was going to transfer, because
he was the second player to do so.
Yeah, and he was, and then we had the whole drama with that in the middle of the season, and I'm not surprised. And then
it's not like the talent wasn't there. I said that throughout the season. It's just, it seemed like there were some internal things.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're not going to speculate too much. But when you're losing like that, it's hard to kind of break out of that. And it kind of got to the point where I think that morale was at an all-time low.
And with the drama on top of all that.
That definitely factored into their losing streak. But regardless, it seems like, you know, this is a statement. And definitely probably going to see more. The next big player that would be on the move for Southern Miss would probably be DeAndre Pinckney, which would be their next big contributor. They've already, like I said, I'll pull it up again, the 6 players that they've lost accounted for 65% of their total minutes played, 76% of total points, 73% of assists, and 58% of rebounds. And if you get Pinckney and that, you know, you basically lost all of your key contributors. And people want to say that, you know, this was a losing squad. What if they leave? You know, Southern Miss can get better without them.
And that's where my next question comes. Mm-hmm. With this change of events and everybody leaving, how does that play into recruiting? Because here's the thing. You finished the season 7-26, and you won in 17 in the conference, and you ended the season on a 14-game losing streak. And then now you're keeping, I'm like, not to speculate, but you're keeping the coach, you're keeping the coach, and everybody was not the. I'm trying to think of the words to say, but like everything is just not right in the program right now.
So there's a lot of approaches you can take here, right? You could go for JUCO transfers. That's one way you could do it. Another thing you could do is you could recruit locally, because if you're recruiting guys that are from, you know, like 15 minutes away from campus, they're going to be more likely to commit to your school because they're like, oh, well, I get to play for my hometown team. I get to be like a hometown hero. So if you're competing, if you're trying to recruit at the nationwide level and nothing's really working out for you, you can always try to recruit within the cities near your school.
Right. And I don't doubt that Ladner will be able to do that. He'll definitely be able to get some great players on this team. And like I said, you look at that transfer portal, there's so many great players out there right now. But it's the fact that it's probably going to be a lot harder than it has in the past, just because when you have a situation like this, when you have half of your team leaving, that does not leave a good mark. When people start to research, start to look at Southern Miss, start to ask other players what was going on, which we don't even know what was going on.
And all I can say is now, I'm like, I feel like that this program could turn around, because we looked at football and we kind of was like, well, how can they bounce back from that? And they got all these transfers from Ole Miss. Honestly, I feel like that's the way. If Southern Miss basketball goes up in a positive way, I feel like that may happen if they get transfers from big schools like that. But I feel like they have to turn something, around. Because I saw that statement that Jeremy McClain put out, and I saw the backlash from the fans and from multiple people, and it was not good at all.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about this from a basketball standpoint, but when you look at it at a fan standpoint, this has got to be an all-time low. Like, I mean, we weren't here for some other periods in Southern Miss basketball, but it's just on the downtrend when you look at that. And, you know, this is one of your biggest money-making sports besides football and baseball. Revenue bringing sports, you've got to have that fan interest, and you have season ticket holders who behold, they stayed throughout the 7-26 season, and now you're putting them through arguably more pain. I'm not speculating that there won't be success next season, but with the current odds, it is a lot of reworking to do. And with, you know, you're losing 75, you're losing three quarters of your production, no matter if that team wasn't winning games. That's production. Production is production. There were players sitting on the bench that weren't playing. Sure, next man up, but those players have to acclimate to getting time on the court against D1 schools. You talk to any basketball player, any player, they have to have that experience on the court. And does Southern Miss have that experience right now with the current roster? No, absolutely no. So obviously transfer portal is the way to go, and Southern Miss has always turned to those JUCO players. Tay Hardy was a huge loss for Southern Miss. He really just stepped on straight from Pearl River and just played. I think that obviously some recruits from JUCO can make that immediate impact. So it's not like it's the end of the world, but this is a very, very questionable time for Southern Miss basketball.
And then, not to cut you off, but we talked about Charles said it, talked about recruiting locally. Rashad Bolden was on that freshman all team. Wasn't he? I think he was freshman of the year.
He's freshman of the year. Yeah, that's a huge loss.
And he's on the portal, so I feel like it's going to be a tough recruiting process going forward, because now I think Ladner has to have some type of fire going into next season, because this was his. If anything, this was the year where the hot seat was like literally on. The seat was literally on fire.
No, there was no chair because the chair had already burned.
It already burned, but now I feel like now he has to really recruit. Now I feel like he has to do something. And then of course, when we go into the season, they got to win. They can't lose. They cannot have a bad season. They got to at least do well in the conference. I'm like, even if you don't win the tournament next year, they got to do well next year.
But I also think that's where a lot of fans are upset at, because they want Ladner gone. But you got to look at it like this, too. What are the odds that Ladner can be successful in this season, no matter how good he is, you know? That's an administrative decision. That's where the administration gets involved. Because with the current odds, with things downtrending like this, it doesn't look like there's much chance for a quick turnaround next season. And then you're just further prolonging this.
Yeah.
We see so many times nowadays sports move so fast past coaches. Yep. But when programs, culture looks to kind of fall apart like this or change rapidly, it's hard to try to rebuild around this. But, hey,
yeah,
it's always possible.
Yeah,
and look, just a lot of fans have this perspective that if we bring in a new coach, everything's going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, you're stuck with the same program with six players transferring out that went 7-26 in the season. We could hire Coach K tomorrow, and nothing's really going to change.
Yeah. Maybe with Coach K.
Maybe
with Coach K, I think
Well, obviously, you get the clout that comes with that, but you'd have to go through the major adjustment of, okay, well, we're going to take this team that didn't do very well. We're bringing in a new coach, which means there's going to be a bunch of adjustments, figuring out how he's going to bring his system into the school, integrate that with his players. You got to learn a new playbook. There's so much that goes into bringing in a new coach. And that's just always something that I think of in the back of my mind when I hear fans talk about we need a new coach. And it's a process.
And you do have a point, because I look at schools like Memphis who hired Penny Hardaway, and then I look at North Carolina who hired Hubert Davis. They kind of struggled in the first couple years too as well, but they eventually got it together too as well. But you do have a point. If we did hire a new coach tomorrow, we are throwing him into the fire and then having to pretty much fix all that, it would be tough on him. So
we'll have to see what happens next year. And all of this aside, you know, we do wish, as we said earlier, best of luck to all the players that transferred, and the best of luck to the current coaching staff that they can get past these obstacles.
Yes, absolutely. And also best of luck to all the individuals that will be doing scouting and other recruiting related activities.
Lots of late for the nights school. For them.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's go time now.
It is. So we'll definitely see what happens with that in the future coming up. But when we come back from break, we will have our flowers and then we will be giving our flowers, and then we will have our outro as well. This is the 4th Street Sports Show, and this is Southern Miss Radio.
This is Southern Miss Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of the show. We're now giving flowers.
And welcome back, everybody. Yeah. I took your job. Yeah. How do you feel about that?
Well, thank you, Logan, for the this is our flower section, where we give our flowers to current and former Southern Miss athletes who received honors during the week. And this is where we give them their praise and give them their flyers. I said flowers. What,
maybe it's a flyer with a flower on it.
But we give our flowers, and we want to start off right now giving flowers to Corvell Ty for finishing second place at the NCAA Indoor Championship. So shout out to Corvell Ty again, having a great season again. And so shout out to him also.
It was crazy. I was put this in. I talked to him last year, and he was talking about how he wanted to break the school record. What was next for him? He wanted to break the school record and get a title. He obviously fell a little short of that title, but still pretty damn impressive that he got that close and he broke the school record. So we didn't put out a 4th Street Player of the Week, but I got a veto because I felt like if he didn't win, that's not fair. Because, come on, guys, number two in the nation in the high jump out of all the high jumpers. Mm-hmm. So
it's going to bring lots of Corvell eyes to
Corvell is our
moving forward.
Is our 4th Street Player of the Week.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Success.
Yes. So shout out to him. Flowers to the men's golf team for picking up that number one place at East Carolina. So shout out to the men's golf team for picking that victory up too. And also too, I just saw this actually before the show. Shout out to Dominique Davis. She has joined the Legacy League as an NIL NFT partner. So shout out to Dominique Davis for picking that up. And
I told myself that I wasn't gonna buy any NFTs, but I might need to buy me a a NFT for her.
So shout out to Dominique. And I believe that's all the flowers we have. So
although far. Charlie and I wanted to give some shout outs to certain events. So go ahead. I'll start with you, Charlie.
Obviously, with the severe weather last night, there's a tornado. Pretty, I think they're saying EF3 pop. They're assessing the damage, but one person was killed, I believe. And then just a lot of homes were damaged, people losing them in the Ninth Ward and around New Orleans. Yeah. So our thoughts go out to everybody affected in New Orleans.
Yeah, definitely shout out to New Orleans East, the Ninth Ward, Chalmette. I believe other I can't think of other places that were hit right now, but I pray that for everybody. I pray everybody is doing okay. And condolences to the man, to the person that was killed in the tornado. But definitely prayers to everybody back home. That's where I'm from. But prayers and condolences to everybody back home. I hope everything goes well. Like Charlie said, they're assessing the damage right now. But I pray that everybody can fix it and everything. And I pray that everything is going well down back home in New Orleans. I had to check on my people today, honestly, just to see if everything was good. But everything's straight where I was, where they were and everything. And luckily, nothing happened here because it was supposed to be bad here, as you were telling me on Monday, I believe. So, but yeah, definitely prayers and condolences to everybody in New Orleans right now. And I hope everything is going, I hope everything is getting better. So, yeah. But Charles, you had to say something too as well.
Yes, I did. For those of you who are wrestling fans who listen to our show, we are very sad to report that WWE and WCW legend Scott Hall has passed away due to complications after a surgery that he had. He was, for those of you who aren't aware, he was a member of the New World Order in WCW, which led to an 82-week-long winning streak for WCW in the Monday Night Wars. And he also had characters in the WWE, like Razor Ramon. And, I mean, he went through a lot in his life, and he, you know, we just, unfortunately, he's passed away. Yep. He did have a lot of really great things in his life later on, like he did DDP yoga, and it, like, genuinely saved his life.
Yeah.
He's been through a lot, but there's a quote that everyone's throwing around that he said during his Hall of Fame induction speech. He's a two-time Hall of Fame inductee. He said that dreams can come true, bad times don't last, but bad guys do.
Yeah.
So rest in peace to Scott Hall. Too sweet to you up in heaven, man. But
and survey says one more for the bad guys. NWO people. So rest in peace, Scott Hall. And yeah, but that has been our show, ladies and gentlemen. We thank y'all for tuning in to the 4th Street Sports Show again. Of course, I know this is a Wednesday, but every Tuesday at 6:00.
Yeah, due to the weather, we had to delay it.
Yeah, we had to delay it. So, but Tuesdays at 6:00, Facebook Live, WUSM 88.5, SouthernMizRadio.com, the TuneIn Radio app. Follow us on all social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, everything. Of course, if you didn't catch today's episode, it will be on all podcast streaming platforms either tomorrow or Friday, whenever I get it up as quickly. I probably might have it done tonight because I got like a whole bunch of homework to do. But that's another discussion for another time, ladies and gentlemen. But once again, thank you for tuning in again, though. We definitely appreciate y'all for sticking with us. I know this semester's kind of been weird. We've been canceling a lot of shows and moving a lot of things too, but we thank y'all for sticking in with us too as well. Oh, also, before we go, quick update on the Southern Miss baseball game. The score is 12-8, bottom of the ninth with two outs. And I believe that UNO, the University of New Orleans, has one person on base. So we will see what happens with that. We'll probably tweet it out after the show because it is two outs, by the way. So, but yeah, that looked like his game. It looked like it's crazy. It looked like his game because it says top of the 10th, but it looked, but it still says 12. Yeah, it's fine. It's in the final. So With that being said, Southern Miss moves to 14-7 on the season.
5-1 midweeks.
5-1 midweeks. And it only gets better, and they have a big series coming up too, by the way. But I know that was supposed to. I know that's supposed to be quick, but this we had to get that out the way though too as well. But definitely tune into us next week as well on WUSM 88.5 Tuesdays at 6 o'clock, Facebook Live, all that jazz I said earlier. So. Once again, my name has been Kobe.
I've been Charles, not Charlie.
Charlie, not Charles.
Hey, yo, hope you didn't mix this up.
Shout out to Smooth Voss. Smooth Voss, too. He will be back soon and all that later. So, but we are the 4th Street Sportsmen, and this has been the 4th Street Sports Show.
Hey, yo.
Peace and love, everyone.
As a tribute to Scott Hall, we'll be playing the New World Order's theme song.
And it's just too sweet. Peace and love, everyone. 3, 2, 1.
Thanks for listening to the 4th Street Sports Show. Tune in next week, Tuesday, 5 p.m.